Welcome everybody, this is the SharePoint Patterns and Practices webcast, and this time we wanted to actually move away from the, let's say, code development to a slightly different area and remind people on the one of the great assets what we have within the BNP initiative, which usage is growing all the time, called the BNP PowerShell. So we did a BNP PowerShell webcast quite a long time ago, and we wanted to do a quick rerun and refresh on where we are with the BNP PowerShell, how to get started, and what are the latest updates. My name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in SharePoint Engineering, and with me today as the main presenter is Erwin Van Hoonen. So Erwin, will you do the intro?
Hi Vesa, thank you for introducing me. I'm Erwin Van Hoonen. I'm a product owner at Rancor. I work with transformation tooling there, and I'm one of the guys behind the PowerShell commandlets from PNP.
And yeah, I would say you're the father of the PNP PowerShell, if nothing else.
Well, yeah, I at the time I started with them, but many other people have now contributed to it.
Sure, no doubt. Good. Before we actually get ongoing on the demos and actual BNP PowerShell stuff, just to make sure that everybody is up to date. So the SharePoint BNP or Office Dev BNP, this is an open source community-driven initiative led by Microsoft, but we have a lot of external MVPs involved like Erwin and a few others. And also we take contributions from the community and provide them code samples, guidance documentation in MSD, and monthly community calls where we explain our what has happened within the last month. Case studies, we have a case studies with Blue Meteor, which is an ISV who transformed to the cloud, and also Volvo Cars, which is a good example of a customer moving away from farm solutions to the adding model implementations. Now, from a teaming side, the SharePoint PMP really concentrates obviously on the upcoming SharePoint framework. More stuff on that quite soon, depending on when you're watching the video. And there's a lot of stuff in the SharePoint add-ins, also a lot of content around the Microsoft Graph, and the remote provisioning and client-side development in general. But good, let's actually concentrate on the BNP PowerShell, which is no doubt today's main agenda. And I'll let actually Erwin take the lead on the presentation. So right. Erwin, take it away.
Yeah, so the PowerShell commandlets, basically, they don't come out of the box. You will have to download them, you will have to install them. And there are several ways of doing that, and I will show you that in the demo too. Then the whole idea behind the PowerShell, and actually if you're a developer, that would make quite some sense the way it works, but you have to connect to your site. You connect to your online site or to your on-premise site, and from that moment on, the whole range of commandlets is to you available, is available for you to do all kinds of things, like create lists, add items to lists, remove items from lists, create fields, remove fields, etc., etc., etc. But the whole thing is that you first connect to a site, do your thing, and then you can connect to another site, and that way you can, for instance, script like adding a field to like 100 sites. You can easily script that, but you will have to connect to every site specifically. And if you're a developer, if you have a developer background, effectively what we're doing in the connect phase is we're building up a client context.
Now to show I'm actually going to immediately on this one, because the classic question most likely will be that, hey, wait a minute, what is a BNP PowerShell and what's the relation of the BNP PowerShell to the native SharePoint Online PowerShell?
Right, that's a very good question. So if you compare the two, if you look at more detail in what the both of the different PowerShell modules do, is that the ones that come from Office 365, they focus on administrative tasks. Adding users to groups, creating groups, removing users, creating sites, removing sites, those kind of things. Whereas the PNP commandlets focus very much on artifacts within a site. So creating a list, adding a field, etc. So they are sort of complementary. There is one commandlet that comes in both versions, so they are conflicting, but there's a way around it that I can talk about a bit later in this webcast. But the majority of the commandlets are completely separate from each other, and they just are complementary. So I would advise you to install both ones and use them where appropriate. let's show you a bit of the benefits of the PowerShell commandlets from PNP. So if you write, and I'm not sure if I should call it old school, but if you write like out of the box PowerShell commandlets and you want to do things to a SharePoint Online site that are not provided by the PowerShell commandlets that come from Microsoft. you will basically have to import a couple of assemblies, that's the first two lines. You will have to set up some credentials, that is the fourth line. Then you create a context that happens below there. And then in this case, if you look at the here I create a new list creation information. So what this script does is basically creating a list. The list is called demo list, and then I specify a template type, where the list will be located, which URL it has, and then I say, hey, add this list to your collection of lists. And then I add a field, which is you have to write down in the always lovely camel syntax, and then you add the field as XML. So it's a lot of code you're writing. And effectively what you're doing here is, even if you're not a developer, you're writing code. It's every line here is like a line of code.
Isn't this kind of good example what the native SharePoint Online PowerShell isn't providing? So it's actually content management, so there's no native command for it.
There is nothing there in the native PowerShell commandlets that you get from Microsoft, indeed, to do this. You will have to do it like this, with building up the context and everything. Yeah. And you'll see that it's actually not that readable. It's a lot of lists, and it requires you a lot of to understand basically how writing code with the client object model works. Now, this is old school. Let's move to new school. This is the same. The outcome is the same. So here I connect to the site, connect SP Online. Then I create a new list called demo list, which is a generic list, and it lists, the URL is lists demo. And then I add a field to it with a display name, an internal name, a choice field with a couple of options there. And this is all to it. So if we go back again to the previous slide, old school, new school. I like to think that this is more native PowerShell. And this is easier to understand, easier to read, and also easier to reuse.
And no doubt the productivity of the developer or the script editor is much higher.
Exactly. Now, how do the PowerShell commandlets work? Behind the scenes, they are actually connecting to the core library, the PMP core library. So all the functionality that we provide in the PMP core library, or much of it, is exposed in the PowerShell commandlets by specific commandlets. Let me show you how to go to work. First of all, it is a matter of installing the library. Where do you get them? So if I move to my browser here, and here I have a link to github.com, OfficeDev PNP PowerShell. And there you will find a releases entry over here. If you click on the releases, you will always see the latest release. And here you can download the various MSIs. So the PowerShell commandlets come in three versions, one for SharePoint 2013, one for SharePoint 2016, and one for SharePoint Online. The reason for that is that there are three different versions of the client object, the client libraries, or the client SDK for those versions of the server. So you will have to download the specific version that you want to work with. Can you install all three of them at the same time? Yes. Can you use them? That requires a bit of management in paths, because the way the PowerShell commandlets work, they will automatically be loaded. So it will just load the first one it finds. So if you want to install them all three, you have to modify some things. It's a bit more detailed, and we're not going into that in this webcast. So, but if you only work against SharePoint Online, you just only download the SharePoint Online version down here. So this is a way of installing it. Just download the MSI and run the installer. If you have already PowerShell open before you install it, close PowerShell and reopen it after it, and you will have the command that's available. Another way, and that's especially interesting if you run Windows 10, is by using PowerShell itself to install them. So what you can do is you can say find module, and I just search for everything with PNP in there. And if I search, it will now connect to a site called the PNP PowerShell Gallery. And there it will find the entries. And you see, by the way, here a bit of old versions still listed, and that has to do with the caches of that site. So don't get for these, but go for these versions, SharePoint PNP PowerShell Online, PowerShell 2013, or PowerShell 2016. And the matter of installing it is very simple. It's just a matter of saying install module, and then you enter the full name. So SharePoint PNP PowerShell 2016. Press enter, it will download the package, it will install it for you, and you have the PowerShell commandlets available. There are related commandlets like update, etc. Also, you should update the package in place with the latest version, so you don't have to install the MSI file and install that. In environments where you cannot use these PowerShell commandlets, like install module, find module, remove module, you will still have to use the MSI file. Now, the moment that they're installed, the first thing you want to do is to connect to a site. So if I connect to my site here, connect SPO online, I enter the URL, and I have a site here for demo available. Then you have to provide credentials. Now, if I would press enter right now, you will notice that I am not asked for credentials. And the way that works is described on the GitHub site. But what it does right now, in my case, it connected, looked up credentials for me in my Windows Credential Manager, the out-of-the-box Windows Credential Manager, where I set up an entry for this specific site. So you see that I don't enter credentials. The result is that it's very easy to script things also on, like on servers or unattended, because you don't want to enter usually a password in automated scenarios, but you also don't want to store user ID and password in your script itself. So the commandlets here connect using the Windows Credential Manager, whether your credentials are safely stored. If you want to have a prompt, you can just say credentials there, and then I say get credential, and now it will prompt up a prompt where I enter my credentials. If you have nothing set up in your Windows Credential Manager, you will get that prompt too. So connecting to the site, and from this moment on, I can use basically all my commandlets. So for instance, if I want an overview of all the lists, I just do get SPO list, and there are all my lists. If I want to have an overview over all the fields, get SPO field. Now, there are over 150 commandlets currently available, so we will not go through all of them. But you have to, and we'll have actually in the webcast later a slide with the majority of the most important ones. But there's a couple of things I would like to point out here that are very interesting. And also, when you compare this with the previous webcast we did about the PowerShell, what has changed? So one of the things that I really like is the ability to create a drive. So I connect to my site, and then there's another parameter being create drive. If I do this, it connected to my site, but what I have available right now is another drive in my PowerShell, and I can go to my SPO drive, my SharePoint Online drive. Now, if you connect to on-prem, that drive also will be called SPO, but you can change the drive name. There's another parameter for that in the commandlet, but it defaults to SPO. And if I do...
That's, by the way, a good clarification also on the connect SPO online, so you actually use the same command for on-premises as well.
Yeah, so let the SPO prefix not fool you in thinking that it only works with SharePoint online. It also works with SharePoint on-prem, indeed. So now you look at the content of that site. I'm in the site right now. And if I go to a subweb, I can navigate to a subweb, and I see the content of the subweb. And there's an images folder here, and that images folder is empty. So if I go to the root here, let's see if I can actually find something. There's an images folder too. That one is empty too. Maybe inside assets, I'll find something. There's a demo PNG. So what I can do now is I say copy demo PNG to /touch images, and now I copied one file from one site to the other. So if I go to my subweb images, there is my demo PNG file. Very easy to do maintenance, copy files over from one site to the other, etc. Now you're wondering, can I also easily copy files over from a site to my local file system? Not with the copy command, unfortunately. And that's a limitation to PowerShell. This is a type of file system, think of it like that, and the commands only work within the same type of file system, and your hard disk is a different type of file system from the online side. So the way to do that is by get contents and set contents. It's a bit more complex, unfortunately, but that's how it is. We are considering creating specific commandlets that are aware of the of the different file systems, and then you get things like we will something like in the style of copy SPO file, and then that one is aware of the two different file systems and can actually copy between your local hard disk and the online site, etc. But for now, it's basically within the site. Another one I would like to point out is a change we made pretty recent to the provisioning engine, is that we started to support a different file format, the PNP file format. That file format has many benefits, but the biggest benefit I would say is that we now contain all the assets that make up your template in the provisioning engine. They are located in one file. So if you have like a template, an XML file, and you have images and maybe some ASPX files, etc., they all are part of that single PNP file that you can easily distribute within your organization or put in a SharePoint list and then reuse it from there, or in a library, I mean, and reuse it from there.
Just to quickly elaborating on that one, so obviously the PNP file is almost like a remote WSP package, isn't it?
It is.
It's something which we generate out of existing site, we save site as a template, but we save site as a remote template. A PNP file, and then you can actually move that cross environments, cross farms, even, and the template configurations will be then usable easily.
Exactly. So how do you get hold of that file? So if I connect to my website, SharePoint.com, sites, webcast, and say get SPO provisioning template. And then I provide an output name. So it's Monday here. So Monday, PNP, press enter. So the commandlet will use the PNP provisioning engine behind the scenes. It will connect to the site. It will find all the relevant artifacts, like content types, fields, lists. It will download all the information it can find out about those artifacts that we currently support, and stores that one in an XML file. When it's done retrieving all the different artifacts, it will package it into a PNP file, which will end up in your file system soon, in the current folder where you entered this commandlet. It's almost done. There we go. And here you will find the PNP file. And everything that it retrieved from that site is now available in this PNP file, and you can simply also apply that template to another site by first connecting to that site with a different connect SP online commandlet, and then you say apply Monday PNP. Now if you want, for debugging reasons, I mean, you can easily open this PNP file. If you look inside, it's effectively just a zip file with a manifest and etc. in it. It's actually,
well, open XML file to be precise.
Exactly, it's an Office Open XML file.
Yeah.
Then, if you want, for debugging reasons, just the XML version, you just say XML. We will not do the packaging for you. It will just retrieve the same template, but then retrieve all the artifacts on the file system if they're additional artifacts, and it will create the XML file on your file system, and you can go in there with Notepad or even, if you insist, VI, but any text editor basically, and change the file to your likings. So this is, in a nutshell, basically those are the big changes. There's many other commandlets. Ones that, for instance, that was recently introduced in the latest master merge is the ability to set the SPO request access emails, for instance. So that's a property on the web where you say, okay, so if someone wants access to your site, where does that request go? You know, you can set that now from PowerShell, those emails. So you can script that also, so like throughout your site, and force that all those emails go to that specific email address, and then loop through the site.
And in general, I would say that no doubt the biggest use case for the PNP PowerShell is just standardization. And you can script your governance logic, you can script your provisioning logic, and you can provision hundreds of site collections using a standard set of scripts with all of the default settings and all of that, and using the engine as well.
Yeah.
But it's such a powerful tool to do automated tasks.
Indeed. And now that we have the PowerShell gallery available, you could actually write your scripts in such a way that it checks if the PowerShell commanders are available. If not, it will download them, install them, and then the script continues. So that can be part of your single script. So it will automatically retrieve them on an environment where they're not there. So we sign the commandlets. We sign them with a certificate. So in environments where you have a more strict mode, so the execution policy there is set to not to unrestricted, but to restricted. We sign the commandlets, so you can even run them in that environment.
And a quick comment on that one. They are not signed with the Microsoft certification because this is an open source community initiative. We're kind of looking into that for the future if we can change that. But there are certain legal implications out of using the Microsoft own certification for it.
So in the case
right now, it's a BNP specific.
Yeah, you will actually see Vesa's name pop up there. Yeah. If we go back to the GitHub side, one thing I would like to point out is also the overview. So if you scroll down on the README, on the main page, basically, here you see navigate here for an overview of all the commandlets. If I click here, you get a list of all the commandlets available. And this file is generated, so it's really reflecting all the information, all the commandlets that are there. It goes from like user group management, taxonomy, web parts, webs, etc. You can scroll down. You can click on a commandlet and you will get detailed information. Now, this information is not that complete, but of complex. But if you say to like, if we go up here to branding, and we do get provisioning template, you will see there's all the parameters and all the attributes are described and what they do, and there's examples provided too. So it's pretty complete. So this help is also available if we go back to PowerShell, obviously in PowerShell itself. So if you show help get SPO provisioning template, you will get all that information too, and you can use the detailed switch, etc. So this is in a nutshell the demo I wanted to do. Now if you go back to the slides. If the slides are cooperating with me, there we go. So, a small overview. This is already old, but it's still more relevant. And you will see that there, all the commandlets, they start with SPO, get SPO, verb dash SPO, get, add, whatever. You will notice that the native ones or the Microsoft provided ones also start with SPO. And there is the get SPO site one that is conflicting. Now there's several ways of handling that specific one. If you want to use the PNP one or you want to use the Microsoft one, you can put the full path in front of it. So you can write SharePoint PNP online or SharePoint PNP PowerShell online / get SPO site. That will work. You can also load your module with a prefix. So if I say load import module, and then you say Office SharePoint PNP PowerShell online, and you say prefix PNP. What it did now is all the commandlets that were available have an additional prefix in front of it. So if I do get PNP SPO list, it will call the one from the PNP library. So get PNP SPO site, and you will get the PNP version of that commandlet. You can do it to PNP. You can also do the other one. So load or import the module from Microsoft with an MS prefix. So get dash MS SPO site, for instance. That's a way of doing it. You can also write the full path of the commandlet in front of it and then / the commandlet name, up to you. But there's a way of doing it, of handling conflicting commandlets. So back to the slides. Somehow clicking twice is required to go back to the slides. So in a summary, it's available to download from GitHub, from the releases section on GitHub, or you go to the PowerShell gallery and you use the install module commandlet. It's over 150 commands, and we're still growing and growing and growing. It's open source, so you can contribute. We would love it if you contribute and help us make it better. A contribution, if you're not a developer, you can also contribute on the documentation. There's still quite some commandlets that lack good examples, for instance, and we would love it if you write documentation there. A little side note there, if you want to write documentation, you do need to write the documentation in code. It doesn't mean that you have to write code, but the way we handle documentation is that the documentation is embedded in the code. So that's where you write it. Let that not scare you away. You're basically writing English. So no C sharp or nothing like that. But you have to write it like that. And then there are very specific versions for SharePoint Online and on-premise 2013, 2016 that you will have to download appropriately for your server.
And maybe one thing, additional thing to mention, this is evolving on monthly basis. So whenever we do a PMP must emerge on every first Friday of every single month, at the same time the PMP PowerShell, or a few hours later due to the dependency on the core component, we then release a new version of the PMP PowerShell.
Yeah, and the commandlets are completely standalone. That means that you do not have to download any other requirements or libraries, nothing. All the required files that the commandlets need to work, like the client SDK, the PMP core SDK, etc., they are all part of that package that you install. So no need to take care of that. It's just a single download. You run it, and you're done. You're up and running. That was it.
Cool. That's it. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Erwin, for this one. And absolutely, we strongly recommend people to have a look on the PMP PowerShell. They are super powerful, and you can easily do essentially modifications to a SharePoint Online or SharePoint on-premises without writing a code, which is a big benefit. Also, writing a code and using the core component is no doubt an option. But every now and then, it's actually faster and easier to do the stuff using PowerShell.
Exactly.
But I think that's it for this webcast. Thank you, Erwin, one more time for joining, and we'll come up with a new webcast sooner or later.
Yes, goodbye.